We're just very, very thankful to the Holy Spirit for the way He moves and ministers to each and every one of us. And that is always the amazing work of the Holy Spirit, because He knows you. He knows what you're going through, and therefore He will speak to you in a very personal way. So thank the Lord. Well, rooted is the word. It is so important that we must be rooted. We must have good roots and be ensure there's no bitter roots. But the question I want to ask all of us this morning is that, why it is so important that we must be rooted? Why? Why you and I must be rooted? Let me just give you three reasons why we all must be rooted. First, we must be rooted so that the tree can grow tall. So that we can grow. Not only we can grow tall. So that others will take notice of us. Notice of us that you are a believer. You are a child of God. So we must grow and grow tall. And second reason is that we must grow and be healthy so that we have branches, and the branches will be spread out and there will be leaves so that it can provide shade. That your life, you can provide shade as a shelter to others who need that shade at different points in their lives. So your life can be a shade, a shelter to many others. And one more reason is that we must grow and to be a healthy, a strong tree so that we will bear fruits. Bear fruits. Not just for us to eat, but for others to partake of the fruits and taste of the fruits. You may be a mango tree. Make sure your mango is sweet. You may be a durian tree. All right? So we bear fruits so others can enjoy and taste the fruits and ultimately the taste of the goodness of God. So that's why it is so important that we must be rooted. Four key reasons. For key purposes. And therefore, in this last session, I'd like to entitle my message, Impact Your World. Impact Your World. Yes, you have been blessed. Yes, the Lord has ministered to you. Yes, the Lord has spoken to you. But what is the ultimate objective, so to speak? Not just for you and I to have a good time and feel good, you know, that God has spoken to me. Yes, it is important. But ultimately, it's that God wants to use you like a tree that grows strong and tall, and you can be a blessing to the people around you. So that's why impact your world, it is so important. And I pray that as you go back to your church, first you will impact the people in your church. And then God will also use you to impact, you know, your colleagues, your neighbors, you know, your friends, your relatives, your neighborhood, people in the society that you interact with, that your life will be a powerful impact to the people that you are going to meet. Let us pray. Father, we give thanks to you for the way you minister to us. Indeed, you are the God who knows each and every one of us. And Father, once again this morning, we open our hearts to you, O God. Help us to understand and to know, Lord, what is your key purpose for each and every one of us. Indeed, I pray that our lives will be impactful. So, Lord, speak to us. We commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Impact your world. Let me ask you, when you apply for a job, what do you look out for? What are some things that you must know and you like to know when you apply for a job? Tell me. Salary. Oh, this young man is very practical. Yes, salary, it is important. What else? Work culture. Yes, you like to know the culture of the company that you are working with. But you know one thing you must get to know is your job scope. Your job description. What is expected of you. Because when you know your job description, you know what you're called to do and how you should perform. And that is important. So there must be clarity in your knowledge and understanding of your job scope, your responsibility, and your job description. And therefore, this morning, I want to share with you Jesus. You know, he has a job description for you and I. And we got to know what is this job description that Jesus has for us. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Verses 13 to 16. Here Jesus say, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Here Jesus saying, you know, basically the same thing, but through two different ways. And basically here, Jesus saying to us, your life and my life, we must be a vessel that will make a difference. We will make an impact to the people around us. The big idea is that you make an impact. Live an impactful life. And Jesus here helps us to understand what it means to live an impactful life. And he uses two metaphors. Two. First, he uses the salt. That's why he said, "You are the salt of the earth." You are the salt. Tell me, why Jesus did not say, "You are the sugar of the earth"? Or, "You are the vinegar of the earth"? Why did he say, "You are the salt of the earth"? Well, very simple, because salt has two very important functions. First, as a preservative, and second, to add flavor. First, as a preservative. You know, in the days of Jesus, they have no refrigerators, no fridge. And therefore, they have to keep the food in good condition, that the food will not go bad or rotten, especially meat. So therefore, needed salt to preserve the food. So first, as a preservative. And second, to add flavor. You know, of course, nowadays, we always say, "xiu yim na," you know, "xiu tong," everything also lesser, all right? But the fact is that a little salt adds great flavor to the food. That's why Ipoh is famous for the salt baked chicken. You know, you have not tried, you must try, because it's not that salty, just nice. So that's why salt, you know, gives the food, you know, add a flavor. If not, the food will be tasteless. It will be bland. It will not taste nice. That's why Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." Because Jesus wants you that your life will be to add a preservative, to preserve certain standard and to add flavor and be a blessing to the people around you. Then he also says the second metaphor, he uses light. You are the light of the world. And you know there are key purposes for light. Light helps us to see. Help, light, you know, exposes what is hidden. And light gives us direction. Right? So light, it is so, so important. That's why he says you are the salt and you are the light. And basically Jesus saying to us, your life must be salty. Your life must be shining so that others will be impacted by your life. So from these few verses, let me just highlight four important words. The first word is the word principle. Jesus says, you are the light. You are the salt. Jesus did not say, maybe you are the salt. Maybe you are the light. Or Jesus did not say, please, please, you know, you are the salt, you are the light, and you must, you know, function as light. And so please do that. No. Very, with authority, Jesus is saying to every one of us, you are the salt. You are the light. So that is the important principle we must understand. That's why I hear two words, calling and command. There's a calling of God upon every one of us to function effectively as salt and light. Every one of us. It's a calling. It's not just the pastors being called to serve, but everyone receive the same calling to serve and to go forth to be a blessing to the people around us, to the society, to the nations beyond us. You are called. It's not just Henry being called. It's not just Faith being called. But every one of us, we are being called. So therefore, we got to realize that we have a calling from our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just people in leadership who has a calling, but everyone of us calling. The second word is command. It is a command. You are the salt, you are the light. In other words, it is not an option that we are expected to function as salt and light. That's why we got to understand it's not just about what we say or what we do, but ultimately what is most important is who we are. Who we are. We are the people of God, and we are salt, and we are light. It is a command strongly given to us that we must live out our lives as salt and light. So understand this important principle. The second word is purpose. Here the Bible says that you function as salt and light, that ultimately man will notice your life. Man will see the good deeds in your life and they will glorify God the Father. Ultimately, your life is to reflect, you know, the love of Jesus. The others look at you, they see Jesus. They see the work of the Father in your life and your Father in heaven will be glorified. So there's a great purpose for each and every one of us, that by our lifestyle, we're able to impact others in such a way that they will come to know God the Father. Here, let me just make three very important statements to you. Number one is this. Where you are is where God has placed you. Second, where you are is where you are to make an impact. And third, where you are is where you are to fulfill God's purpose in your life. These three important statements we need to understand. First, where you are is where God has placed you. I hope you will realize that and you will acknowledge that also. That where you are right now, whether in the family, in your family, at your workplace, you know, wherever God has placed you, the hand of God is upon your life. That God has placed you there for a reason and for a purpose. In the church, in this church, in the marketplace, you know, in the society you are in the different clubs that you may belong to, God has placed you there. Especially in your family and in your workplace, God has placed you there. Maybe some of you right now, you're not happy with the place where you are working. Maybe you're getting a bit frustrated with different issues and you can't wait to move on to another job. But I want to say to you, before you move on to another job, take some time to seek the face of God, because maybe that's where the Lord wants you to continue on, so that you can live out your life as a salt and a light in that place. Because where God has placed you in your workplace is not just about making a living. It's not just about earning a salary. Yes, that is important, but more important is where you are, God has a specific purpose for your life. In the school, in the uni, in the workplace. So we got to understand that where we are is not by accident. That God has placed us there by His divine hand, that He has led us to this place. That's why in looking for a job, we must pray about it. God, you lead me. So where you are is where God has placed you. And second, where you are is where you are to make an impact. As a salt, as I mentioned, you are to preserve and you are to add flavor to the people around you. That your life will just, you know, somehow make a difference. That they notice that you are a believer. You know, in Singapore, in days of old, when you park your car, you have parking coupons and you got to peel the coupons. You park the car at 9 a.m., you got to peel 9 a.m., right? That was the old way. Now we have the parking app. But in those days, everybody, you know, uses the parking coupons. And you know, people being people, when they park, they reach there at 10 a.m. And sometimes they put 10:05. Some they put 10:15. They say, it's okay lah. Some even put 10:30, you know. All right? And there was one time, Carrie will be some friends in the car. They were going to a place and they reached the destination. And the driver took out the parking coupon, wanted to peel. And it was about, I think, 10 a.m. And she was, you know, kind of tempted to peel the coupon maybe a bit later, maybe 10:15. And one of the friends in the car said, hey, be careful, Carrie is around. Wow. Because they recognize she is a Christian. She's a believer. She's a pastor's wife. So they give her that kind of respect. So that's great because, you know, by her life, you know, she's able to act as a preservative, so to speak. So that's how we need to function, that our lives will shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to add flavor. And we are to shine for Him. What does it mean to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ? Very simply, it means to offer help to others, to offer hope, and even to offer heaven to the people around us. Most of all, is to offer help. And we all must understand how we live our lives. It is so important that your life and my life, you know, must be a testimony of the grace of God, of the work of God in our lives. That's why it's not just about what we believe. More important is how we behave as a Christian. It's not just, you know what we believe, but how we behave. It is so, so important, because you and I, we are the walking Bibles wherever we are. And people look at our lives, they read our lives, and therefore our testimony matters. It is so important. That's why I say how we live our life, it is important. That's why we got to be mindful and remember that we are salt and we are light, that wherever we are, we want to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm very conscious of this, and therefore wherever I am, you know, I want to be a blessing to others, to be helpful. You know, for example, in the food court, in those days, you know, you have a lot of elderly people come to collect the tray. I make sure that I say thank you to them. I reach out to them. I engage them in one way or another. When I'm in the MRT, when I see an elderly person walking in, I will offer the seats to that person. It's just it's a small way, but it's a way that we can, you know, be a blessing. One time I was in the MRT, and I sit down, and then the train stopped at a particular station, and at the corner of my eye, I saw an elderly woman walking in. And immediately I stood up, and I offered the seat to her. And she looked at me, and she said, "Lei Moksi." Pastor Lee. Wow, I say, "Hing ah." Thank God I offer her the seat. Because Grace being a big church, especially in the Chinese side, I could not, recognize every one of them. Wow, I said, thank God I offer. And therefore, I gained some points from her. One time, some members visited us, and then after that, we walked down to went to pick up our cars, and because we need to go somewhere. As we were walking to the car park, the cleaner waved at me, and then my member said, "Wow, even the cleaner, recognizes you, and he waves at you." And I told my member, "I am a FOC." Not free of charge. I'm a friend of cleanness. I make sure I befriend the cleaners, in my block. And Karis and I, we will connect with them. We'll give them food. We do what we can to be a friend with them. In the morning when we go down to the block, when we notice them sweeping in the corridors, we will always greet them, "Good morning." We don't wait for them to greet us. We greet them first. You see, there are different ways we can make small impact to touch lives. That's why we must be conscious. We must be intentional, because we are salt and we are light. To make a difference. Do you know what's the difference between a thermometer and a thermostat? A thermometer is an instrument to register the temperature. But a thermostat is an instrument or tool that will regulate the temperature. Not just register, but to regulate. And we got to function not just as a thermometer, but as a thermostat, that we are able to regulate the temperature around us so that we can make a difference. That's why where you are is where you are to make an impact. And then third, where you are is where you are to fulfill God's purpose. As you know, God's purpose, the key purpose, is to see to the salvation of mankind. And you and I, we are God's missionary wherever we are. So that through our lives, we're able to share, you know, our testimonies, to share the good news that others will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So that has to be our ultimate objective and purpose, and to see souls be added into the kingdom of God. And therefore, wherever you are, whenever God gives you the opportunity, you've got to seize it to share the love of God. I learned about this important principle early in my Christian life. I remember I was studying at Tar College. You know, it's a three-month program before pre-U. And I was in KL for a few months, and I met some friends. And one day, a friend took me to another French place at Setapa. And when I reached there, I met some new friends. Three of them. And then as we checked it, I felt the burden to share the gospel with them. But being a new Christian, I was a bit inadequate at that point. After sharing halfway, I felt that, hey, I need a bit of help. And there was a church nearby. And I walked to the church, went into the church, and I met the pastor. And I asked the pastor, could you come over and share, you know, the gospel with my three friends? And he came over and he shared. And guess what? By the grace of God, three of them accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And two of them later on responded to the call of God to full-time ministry. One of them was the late Pastor Yu Chen. And the other is Pastor Stephen Kong. Two of them accepted the Lord and went into full-time ministry. That's why you never know how God can use you to be the salt and the light to usher people into the kingdom of God. So where you are is where you are to fulfill God's purpose. That's why I pray that God will use you wherever you are. Students in your school, ask the Lord, pray. Ask the Lord to empower you that where you are, that you are able to lead your friends to the Lord. I accepted the Lord when I was 17 years old through a classmate. He brought me to the Lord. And for those housewives or retirees, you know, ask the Lord now that you have the time at hand, how you can reach out to your neighbor, how you can reach out to your friends. Employees and employees, pray how the Lord can use you to be a blessing, you know, to the colleagues, to the people around you. Business people, you do your business, yes, God will bless you, but you also ask the Lord, Lord, how can I be more, you know, missionary in my business that I can touch lives and usher and bring other into the kingdom of God. So every one of us, we are conscious of this important calling that we are to reach out and touch more souls for the kingdom of God. That's why the key word is the word purpose. And it is so, so important. That's why when I became a Christian, I was the first believer in my family. I'm the youngest in the family. I have three brothers. And when I became a Christian, I knew this is my mission field. And I asked the Lord, you help me, that I will be a blessing, I will be the salt and light in my own family. And oftentimes, my parents will not go to church, my brothers will not go to church, but I'll bring the church to my home. I'll get Christian friends to come. and we have gatherings, we have parties, we have celebrations, that then my family members, they got to know my Christian friends. I also invited my pastor to come from time to time. And to cut the long story short, my brothers, first of all, one by one, they became Christian. My sister-in-laws, three of them, they became Christians. My nephew, my nieces, they also became Christians. And ultimately, my parents, they also came to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful, I'm so delighted to see my whole family being saved. And that goes the same for Caris. She shared with you last night, being the eldest in the family. She brought her five siblings to the Lord. And then ultimately, God miraculously saved her parents. So I want you to begin to see your family as your mission field. Yes, it is not easy. Yes, it is challenging. That's where we ask the Lord for His strength, for His empowerment, and help us, you know, to do what He wants us to do. It starts with our family. And our workplace is also our mission field. Where you go out for some kind of recreation, you mix with different friends, that is also your mission field. So therefore, we are called to fulfill God's great purpose. That's why the word is purpose. So the first word is principle. The second word is purpose. The third word is peril. The word peril means danger. Here the Bible says, the danger is that we as such, we can lose our saltiness. We are no longer salty. And the danger is that we are no longer shining as lamb, as light. And there's a great danger. And it can happen to every one of us if we are not careful. And therefore, the sad fact is that when the salt is no longer salty, that means it is useless. It's not of no good use altogether. That's what Jesus is saying to all of us. That's why we must be mindful, we must be careful that we will not lose our saltiness. And even as a church, it's so important for every church to recognize that she has been called to be the lighthouse. And the danger sometimes the church begins to engage in so many other things and programs that we miss out the main thing. And the main thing is to fulfill the Great Commission. That's why we must always remember the main thing. Our main calling. That's why I like what Stephen Covey says. He says, the main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. And we got to keep the main thing, the main thing. As a church, as a believer. But sometimes we are so caught up with so many other things that we miss out the main thing. And therefore, we are no longer seeing souls be added into the church, into the kingdom of God. So may God help us that we will remain salty for the Lord Jesus Christ. They will keep on shining for Him. That's why there are five attitudes we must avoid. Five attitudes we must avoid. First is what I call the Andrews attitude. The Andrews attitude. Any Andrew here? Oh, yes, yes. Our pianist. The Andrews attitude. Remember, in the Bible, in the feeding of the 5,000, the young lad came and they found this young lad with five loaves and two fishes. And what the Andrew says, not enough lah. Not enough. How to feed 5,000 people, you know, with what we have, not enough. The danger with the not enough attitude. And we say to ourselves, I'm not good enough. I'm not capable enough. I'm not talented enough. Always say, I'm not enough, so that we restrict ourselves from serving the Lord, restrict ourselves from stepping out to, you know, be what God wants us to be, because we are always saying to ourselves, we are not enough. So be careful of this not enough attitude. And of course, there are some disciples, you remember? They say, oh, now we cannot come to join the party because I got married, because I bought a cow. So the not now attitude. I'm busy right now. I'm so occupied right now. I have this project to do, yes. But we begin to allow it become a reason, an excuse. And we always say, not now. Lord, not now. Later I will go and do this. Later I will share. But always not now. But the not now attitude will keep us from going forward. The third attitude is the Jonah's attitude. For Jonah's attitude is not there. The not there attitude. Lord, not that place is not for me. Lord, I won't want to go there. Not there. So we again, with this attitude, refuse to step out and move forward to live for the Lord. The not there attitude. Then of course, there's Moses. The not me attitude. Moses said, God, not me. You know, I cannot speak. I cannot. You know, Lord, get someone else, not me. Tell you a joke. You know, in Singapore, not in Malaysia. In Singapore, when someone farts, you know what is farts? Form pay. You know, they say when someone farts, the English will say, excuse me. The German will say, pardon me. And Singaporean will say, not me, not me. The danger with a not me attitude. Right? Oh, Lord, not me. Lord, maybe Andrew. Lord, maybe, you know, David, but Lord, not me. So the not me attitude again will stop us from moving forward to do what God wants us to do. And lastly, is the Peter's attitude, not them. Not them. Lord, not the Gentiles. Not them. Lord, not my neighbor. Not my boss. Lord, not this person. You know, I wish them, you know, death. Not life, not them. So these five attitudes we must seek to avoid. But nonetheless, today, I want you to remember that God has given us a great mission. When we are not salty, then it's a very sad situation. When we're not shining for the Lord, it's also a very sad situation because we are not living up to our calling. And we got to always remember, we have a great mission. There's an old story of a lighthouse keeper who worked along a rocky, you know, coastline. Once a month, he will receive, you know, a fresh oil to keep the lighthouse burning. He received a supply of fresh oil once a month to keep the lighthouse burning. There was one night, a mother came and she asked the lighthouse keeper for some oil because her oil has run out. So, being a very, very legitimate request, the lighthouse keeper gave her some oil. And then a father came and said, I need to lubricate, you know, my child's bicycle. Could you give me some oil? Again, the lighthouse keeper, out of good heart, gave some oil to him. Then another person came, also asking for a little oil. Again, the lighthouse, you know, keeper, gave him some oil. Then By the end of the month, he noticed the oil was running low, very low. And then one night, the oil ran out and the light stopped shining that night. And because the lighthouse was not shining that night, some ships, you know, were too near to the rocky coast, and some ships experienced shipwreck, and a good number of people were drowned and passed away. And then the investigators came to find out what's the real reason for this very fateful, you know, sad event. And they realized that the oil ran out before the fresh supply came. And the lighthouse keeper was very, very apologetic to the investigators. He said to them, well, you know, I was trying to be helpful. You know, they came, they asked for a little oil, and therefore I gave to them. And the lighthouse and the investigators told this lighthouse keeper, you got to remember, the oil that was given to you is only for one purpose and one purpose alone. And that's to keep the lighthouse burning. Only one purpose and one purpose alone, and that's to keep the lighthouse burning. Church, you and I, we have the one great purpose, to keep our light burning. That's why it's so important for us on a daily basis, we ask the Lord for strength. We strengthen our walk with the Lord. We draw close to Him. We ensure our spiritual life, it is healthy, it is strong, that we have that intimacy with God. Because when we are strong spiritually, when our walk with the Lord is strong, that's where we are able to keep our light burning. That we can keep, you know, us being continue to shine for the Lord. That's why the peril is we stop shining and we are no longer salty. So I pray that every member in Charis Church will always remain salty, will always be shining. That even as a church, that you will always be shining. That more people will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I thank God that you have your dialysis center. That's the way to impact lives. That ultimately, to reach them with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, we must always embark on different, you know, programs to reach out to our community. Principle, purpose, peril. And the fourth final word is the word power. Power. I want you to know this. When God asks us to do something, He will always empower us with the power of the Holy Spirit. He will not ask us to do something that we'll go forth to do it in our own human strength. But the Father will always be there to empower us, to enable us to do the work for His glory and for His kingdom. That's why you notice every, you know, man and woman of God in the Bible, when God asks them to do something, the task is always bigger than them. But they were able to do that because of the power of God upon their lives. You know, Nehemiah, he was called to rebuild the walls, the broken walls. He was not asked to rebuild a broken door, but the broken walls. Huge tasks, gigantic tasks, but God will empower us. That's why we must learn to depend and rely on God and rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. And therefore this morning I want to say to you, the power in you and the power through you. That there is the power in us and there's a power through us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the power of God in us. But God wants to allow His power to flow through us. And the question is, are we willing to allow God to use us as a vessel, as a tool for His kingdom and for His glory? You see, church, all you need is just a little salt to add flavor. You don't need a lot of salt, right? Just a little salt. In the same way, sometimes we say, well, I am not capable. Who am I? I'm just a small fly. But God can use a small fry if you allow God to use you. Because you are the little salt. When you place in the hands of the Master, then God can use us for His glory. In the same way, all you need is just a small light bulb to light up the whole room. Just a small light bulb. And you and I, we are the small light bulb. Again, when placed in the hands of the Master, that's where God can use us, you know, to brighten up the place where God has placed us. Just a little. And just that's where openness comes in. Willingness comes in. Surrenderness comes in. And when we allow God, you know, to flow through us, that's where God will use us for His kingdom and for His glory. Therefore, church, be a salty Christian. Be a shining Christian. Impact your world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just close by using the clock and the compass as an illustration. The clock and the compass. You know, the clock represents our appointments, our activities in life. So we are always busy with the clock because so many things to do. As I mentioned, it represents our activities, our appointments, in short, our schedule. But the compass represents our mission and direction in life. And the clock plays an important part in our lives, but the compass also plays a very important part in our lives. Is it the clock is about how we manage our time. But the compass is about how we manage our lives. The clock is about what we do. But the compass is about where we are heading. The direction of our lives. The danger is when you and I, we are so engrossed with the clock. Where the clock begins to take, you know, every moment of our time. We are so engaged in our activities, in our daily schedule. We are so busy that we miss out our direction, our mission in lives. That's why we must always remember the compass always points to the north. And Jesus is our true north. When you live by the compass, that's where you recognize that your life is to be directed by the Lord Jesus Christ. That He has a purpose and a mission for you. And you're mindful of your mission and your direction. When you live your life just by the clock, that's where you miss out your mission and your direction. Yes, the clock is important. But the compass has a very important part to play in our lives. So I pray your life and my life will not just evolve around the clock, but also evolve around the compass, God's mission, God's direction, God's purpose in our lives. That's why the compass, it is so important. That's why we must always look to our Master, our Lord Jesus Christ, and to be mindful that our Master has given us a mission, and that mission is to be the salt and the light. And therefore, we must remember, we must live a missional lifestyle. The call of the Master given us a mission, and we are to live a missional lifestyle. I define the word missional as be the gospel wherever you are. It is a lifestyle. Be the gospel wherever you are. You be the good news wherever you are. You be a blessing wherever you are. You be a conduit that God can use wherever you are. That you be the salt and the light wherever you are. And can you imagine when the Church of Jesus Christ will rise up in such a powerful way and begin to live as salt and light of the world? That's where we're able to impact the world, and that's where revival will take place when we live as salt and light. I pray that as you go back, that you will be mindful that you are the salt and you are the light. Tell the person on your right, you are the salt. Tell the person on your left, you are the light. We are the salt and the light. And that's so, so important. That's why, church, impact your world.